Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege of giving back to you a portion of what you've given to us. And it is quite amazing to watch you work in our lives when we are faithful to you, Lord, when it seems crazy to do what you say, to do what you ask us to do when we see no other way. But yet when we obey you, Lord, that unties your hands to do things for us that we cannot even imagine or even think of, Lord. So we thank you. I thank you, Father, for what you've done, not just through me, but through each and every one sitting in this room and those listening on the internet. And Lord, we are in a time in which prayer is, I don't want to minimize the prayers of the past, Lord, but it seems as if the pressures of today requires more of us being on our face before you, Lord, lifting up even more, Lord, to you. Like Pastor Gene said, the trials that Pastor Bob is going through and Sister Sharon, and those who have put requests in this box, Father, needs that only you can meet, Lord. Amen. Only you can strengthen the mind, the body, and all the working parts of life, Lord God. So I ask you today, Father, to do that which only you can do, and do it in such a way, Lord God, that the recipients of your mercy, your grace, your love and provision, your strength and your peace can only be the glory can only be given to you, Lord God, because that's how it gets done. And I'm so grateful to be here this day, Lord, and bless the pastor as he brings forth the word. Give us ears to hear. Let it make that 18-inch journey, Father, from our head to our heart and work it in us this next week as we go about being faithful to our jobs and those that need jobs, Lord, that they will be blessed by you with a job, Father. And for this, we ask in the name above all names, and that's your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, I didn't have much time to prepare, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to be in the Word of God. This is God's Word, so all I got to do is read it. If I can read. But what I've entitled the lesson today, I've given it a title, and it's called Before, Present, and Future. And let's start right away. Let's get into John chapter 1. Now, these are familiar scriptures to you, or they should be, okay? You've been in this ministry long enough to know. So John chapter 1, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's self-explanatory, isn't it? To us it is. But there may be many out there who don't know that this Word is referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Word. And He was with God from the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, and all things were made by Him, that's Jesus Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Have you ever stopped to think about that statement right there? All things were made by Jesus Christ. And without Him, there was not anything made.
Amen.
Nothing. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him, Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, became the light of men that shone in the darkness. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, we call him. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. In other words, John came for the sole purpose of bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you may say, well, why did he have to have his head beheaded and all of that and put on a charger? Because he had fulfilled his duty.
Amen.
His duty was done. So it didn't matter after that. So he was sent to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The same came for a witness to bear this light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. In other words, John the Baptist wasn't the light. He was the forerunner. He only came to bear witness of the light that was coming, who was Jesus Christ. That, verse 9, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Why do you think God's word says that was a true light? That's Jesus Christ. He was a true light.
Is there a false one? There's false ones.
There's going to be false lights. There are false lights. Even Satan himself paraded himself as an angel of the light. But Jesus was a true light. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Think about that. This world that Jesus created, he came in the form of flesh in mankind. And he came to this world, and the very creation that he created knew him not. And the very prized possession that God had created through Jesus Christ knew him not. That was man. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world knew him. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was born of the Jewish people. It was the Jews who rejected him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. You are a direct example of that statement right there in the Word.
Yes, sir.
As many as believed in him, he has given you the power to become the son of God. Reuben, you're a child of God. Son of God. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. So are you, Henry. So are all of us in here.
Amen.
I think I know you well enough to know every one of you has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Yes,
as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And for those who you may be listening by internet, if you haven't made that decision, now you know what the Word of God is saying. All you got to do is believe. Believe and receive. And then you can become the son of God. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, to them born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, we, who's been born again through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, been sanctified, become righteousness through Jesus Christ because of what he did. Because he was in the world and the world knew him not, but we received him because he gave us power to receive him. And he gave us power to become the sons of God. Because of that, when we're born now, we were not born of blood, nor of the will of man, of flesh, but it was of God. In other words, this being born is in a spirit realm, not of the flesh. We had to be born of the flesh to become born again. Two types of birth. There's the earthly birth, the fleshly birth, and then there's the spiritual birth. You've had two births. You've been born once and born again.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Because death will not knock upon your door, the eternal death.
Amen.
Physical death, everybody's going to have a taste of that, unless we're raptured up. But regardless, this old fleshly body will die. Whether you're raptured up from the grave or you're raptured up in life and not died, you're still going to die. This fleshly body will die because it's going to take on immortality.
Yes,
amen. A new body. Whether when you get raptured up, there's going to be a change. You will change in the instant of an eye. And praise be God, we will take on that glorified body. How does that happen? I don't know. Ask God when we get there, okay? And then if you feel like you need to know the specifics then, which I doubt very seriously, you'll have that kind of stuff in your spirit. But it won't matter because you're going to be in a glorified body with our Creator. So verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We have been born of God. We have been made the righteousness through Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world can make you righteous or any more righteous than you are. Works won't do it.
Nope.
Works will send you to hell. Works will follow salvation, good works, but trying to work for your salvation, no such an animal. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14 now. And that word, and the word. Who is the word?
Jesus.
Jesus. The word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen to that. Let's look at Acts. Now we know that was the beginning, okay? The beginning. Let's look at the present. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. This is Luke talking. And he's saying this formal systematic writing discourse that I've put out here. I've made it. It's a little bit longer and more detailed than an essay. Basically what he's saying there. He said, until, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, he is Jesus Christ. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after the crucifixion. He showed himself to be alive with many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, here we know Christ. He was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God before his crucifixion. Now he's resurrection. He's been seen by the apostles for 40 days. He's still speaking of those things of the kingdom of God. How about you? Are you still speaking of those things of the kingdom of God to others? That's our charter. That's we are to evangelize. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the fathers, which he saith, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And that word baptized is interchangeable with filled, means pletheo, which is an experience. Verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, that's like a dunamis or a dynamite power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be, look at this, here's a key word, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, or upon you, it gives you power to become a powerful witness.
Amen.
A powerful witness. And there are gifts that come with it, okay? Too. But not everyone has certain gifts. Just because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you have the gift of tongues.
Amen.
That's a gift.
Yes, sir.
God chooses who and when. And also, He may give you the interpretation of tongues, but not the gift. So all of these different gifts, they work in together for the body of Christ, the church. But just to say, well, I've been baptized. I used to be a deacon, folks, in Assemblies of God Church. Many, many, many moons ago. Back in the 70s. And they were bent on, you got to speak in tongues as evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I can't find that in the Word. Sorry.
Amen.
I do find that you become a powerful witness. But tongues, it is a gift. Not everybody has the gift of tongues.
Amen.
I didn't. The whole time I was there, they tried to beat it into me and everything. I could tell you some stories, but I won't. But to let you know that you got to stay close in the Word.
Yes,
close in the Word. So, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, that's Jesus, while they beheld, he, that's Jesus, was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine that? Here you are, you're talking to Jesus. The apostles there are sitting there talking to Jesus. And then when he got done talking, all of a sudden, he starts rising. And they all see it. Until there's a cloud there. And he's rising in the heavens, in the clouds. Verse 9 again, and while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him and went out of their sight. Remember, this is Jesus Christ in a bodily form going up. And while they looked steadfastly up into heaven as he went up, I know I would be one looking up. I'd say, look at that. Wow. You ever seen a balloon or something go up and you just watch it till it goes out of sight? I'm sure they did. Watching Jesus Christ go up in their sight, they seeing it until they can't see him no more. So he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Picture that. Here these apostles are, his disciples. They're watching Jesus slowly descend up in there. And then all of a sudden, here's two men standing beside them in white apparel. Who are these men? Where'd they come from? They're not part of us.
No.
Where'd they come from? Who are these? So these two men in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. So how did Jesus go into heaven?
Ascended,
didn't he? How's he going to come back? Same way, isn't he? In the clouds, descending down into the earth. Go to Matthew chapter 24 now. Chapter 24, starting with verse 21. Remember, this was Jesus talking to his disciples right after he'd come out of the temple. Verse 21 said, let me back up a little bit. The apostles had asked him, said, what's going to be the sign of your return and your coming and the end of the world? And they're inquisitive. They're asking these things. So he goes on to explain to them. And they only pick up here in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Don't let that slip your mind. There is coming a tribulation in which the world has never seen its likes.
Amen.
Never. Or never will again. That's what Christ is talking about. He said, for then, in other words, when this abomination that is called a desolation, that is spoken of by Daniel, when that happens, and we see the Antichrist sitting in the holy place in Jerusalem, desecrating everything that he comes in contact with. The abomination of the desolation is spoken of in Daniel. Then Jesus is saying, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor will ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In other words, it's going to be so bad, Jesus is saying, that I'm going to have to shorten the days. Because if it don't, all flesh will be killed because of God's chosen people. If not, they would be killed also. So, except for the elect's sake, those days are going to be shortened. Then, verse 23, if any man shall come unto you and say, lo, here is Christ, or there it is, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Folks, we're getting there really quick.
Yep.
False prophets, false Christ. They've been many proclaimed themselves to be the false Christ, proclaimed to be Christ, which were false, and the false prophets, they're here, all over the place, all over YouTube, everywhere. And what we're entering into now, if you're keeping up with the times, is AI.
Oh, yeah.
Artificial intelligence. That they have the capability of asking the artificial intelligence questions and things, and it come back that is very accurate. Even I seen one thing where it said, go in the Bible and read the Bible and bring a sermon on end times. And the person that presented what this AI did, it was mind-blowing, accurate. But the problem is, it's not real. It's an artificial intelligence. Okay? And also, the things that you can see on TV, they can make anything. And you can't distinguish what's truth.
No, that's right.
The only way you're going to distinguish truth, folks, is this.
Oh, amen.
I'm serious as a heart attack, as an old cliche I use sometime, is this Word of God. And I like, the reason I like the old printed Word of God. Nobody can go in there and change it. It's there. With the technology the way it is now, and all of the different versions of that out there now, you have to be very careful, because you can pick up something that will lead you down the path of swaying you away from what the real true Word of God says. Excuse me. Verse 25, behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Have you ever watched the lightning in a dark night, and it started over here and went entirely across the earth spectrum? That's how it's going to be when Christ comes. All eyes will see him. And whether it's on this side of the world or the other side of the world, they will see him coming in such glory and brightness that the eye won't be able to turn away but look at his coming. And like Pastor Bob says, the rapture is going to be instantaneously, but his coming, he believes, and I do too, that it's going to be a progressive coming. How did he go? Same way. How's he coming back? Same way. It's going to be progressive enough that all the kings of the world and the presidents and all the armies of the world are going to gather in Jerusalem in that area to try to fight against him that's coming. What kind of mind do you think it would be to fight against the very creator that created the universe? A deceived mind.
Yes.
And that's Satan's tool.
Amen.
That's why it's so important. You know what the Word says. Not what I tell you, but what this Word says. So, verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation, key in on that, this is Jesus' words here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's immediately after the tribulation. Can you picture that? Don't worry about a cell phone. It ain't going to be working. Don't worry about communications. It's not going to be working. The light that God had created, it's not going to work. The stars. So what's it going to be like on earth?
Chaos.
Dark. Chaos and darkness. With this tribulation and all that's going on, there won't be no power grids up. You know, it's going to be darkness. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How did he go up? In the clouds. How is he coming back? With power and great glory. And now look what's going to happen. When you see this happening, verse 31, and this is after what? The tribulation. And the whole earth is going to be darkened. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather the elect, his elect, from the four winds to one end of the heaven to the other. What do you think that is? I think that is the rapture. From the four winds of heaven to the other.
Amen.
Gather his elect. Who are the elect?
Born again.
The born again believers of God. Okay, let's go on down. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and it putteth forth the leaves, know you that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things happening, or these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation that sees these things happen, will not pass away until all of these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's why it's so comical sometimes to see all of these great book writers out there proclaiming Christ is coming in this year, that year. Hogwash. Nobody knows, but God himself, not even Jesus. Jesus don't even know the day that God is going to say, okay, son, it's time. And these men and women who do these things, proclaim those type of things, show themselves as the fools that they are. But then you will get the media behind them and say, oh, did you hear? You know, sell this book, sell that book, make this movie. Verse 36, but at that day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Only God knows that. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying in marriage, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't even suspect. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The world is going to be out there high-hoeing it up, partying, giving in marriage, living life as normal. When all of a sudden they turn around and it's too late. The God of Israel has returned. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now, there's a lot of controversy in those two verses that I just read. Some say, well, that's talking about the rapture. One being filled, one taken, one left. Another two at the mill grinding, one taken, one the other left. Then there's another out there that says, well, hang on. Didn't we just see the rapture happen? He gathered his four elect. There are those out there who say this is talking about the wheat and tares at the end where he gathers and he says, you goats go over here and you sheep come here, where he separates the evil from the good. And that's what they're saying. They're talking about that. I'm not going to speak to that. I really don't know, but I would lead toward the latter because I believe that's the rapture we just saw before. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour that the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. As I was reading this and looking at this, I'm thinking, boy, there are men in today's world who wouldn't know how to protect anything of their household.
Right.
You know, much less guard against the robbers coming in and taking their stuff. Amen. But yet God is saying, be watchful here. Watch out. Because you don't know when the thief is coming. Be vigilant. In other words, we are to live our life daily as if the Lord Jesus Christ would come at any minute. And live your life in such a way that you're telling others about Jesus Christ. Let them know the gospel through Jesus Christ. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready also, for in such an hour as you think the Son of Man cometh, think not that the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, and give it to them meat in due season. Blessed is a servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. In other words, blessed is a man who is ruling over his house and doing those things that the Lord God had told him to do, according to his word, according to the plan. Blessed is the man who is watching, waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ and is not caught by surprise. I don't think any of you would be caught by surprise because you know what the word says. At least I'd like to think that. And verily, and I also think that most of you, or probably all of you in here, try to live a life pleasing unto God.
Amen.
And when you do sin, notice you say, I said when you do,
yes, sir,
that you ask God to forgive you. Because I know I have a problem with sin.
Amen.
If I have a problem, no doubt you do too.
That's right.
So I have to ask God to forgive me as well as you do. So who then is faithful, verse 46, and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him them meat in due time and season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he come, shall find him doing so. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him a ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's why it's important. God has called you for a reason. Do what God has called you to do. Be the man that God has called you to be. Be the woman that God has called you to be. And operate according to how the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is leading you. We're all different. We all have different functions.
Amen.
You know, some are here, some are there, but we're all in the body of God, the Christ, the kingdom of God, working. Let's look at chapter 25 for a minute. I want to look at verse 31 and 34. Verse 31, chapter 25 of Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Who do you think the goats are?
Unsaved.
Unsaved. That's why I say up here in chapter 24 that one shall be taken, one will be left, that separating, and those goats are going to be thrown in the fire. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. In verse 34, then shall the king say, come, saying to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And then he goes on and they ask, you know, well, how did you know me or this? And he says, well, you fed that one that was hungry. You went and visited that one was in prison. You clothed that one that didn't have any clothes. As much as you did it to them, you did it to me, Jesus is saying. He said, now come into my house that's been prepared for you.
Verse 41.
Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, remember that's the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. How would you like to go to that place? I wouldn't, no. And then verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. And you know, it's such a simple thing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again. Yet the enemy, the devil, has tried to make it so complicated to try to prevent those to come to Christ through deception. And you know, all the stuff is out there that's just incomprehensible how some people could think some ways. That was the present. Now let's look at the future. We're talking about Christ. He was taken up, then he's going to come back. And here, verse 11 of chapter 19 of Revelation, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 11 of Revelation. No.
No.
I turned it off when I coughed, so don't blast your ears out. So he left. He came up, resurrected, not resurrected, but ascended into heaven. They saw him. We see where there's going to be this great tribulation, and when the Son of Man is going to come back, and when he's bringing those, his elect, with him, home to him. And now look here in verse 11 of chapter 19 of Revelation. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called True, or Faithful and True. And in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who is that?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. It's describing his second coming, getting ready. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And you say, oh, he's not that little baby Jesus? No. No, when he's coming this time, he's coming as a warrior. His eyes are as flame, as fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but only him himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth, that's Jesus we're talking about, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the word. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. The fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, that would be the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. How foolish. And the beast was taken, and with the false prophet. The false prophet being the leader of the one world church that did miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Remember that? Number of a man equating to 666. And them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remaining, the remnant, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, that's Jesus, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Great supper. All the fowls of the air filled up. Well, that's Jesus' return.
Hello.
We looked at before, present, and future. That's future. And we're living in the present when all of this stuff is happening now around about us. And that, my friends, concludes today's service.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of your word.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us understanding minds. You've opened our hearts for understanding. And Lord, as we can look into your word, we can glean those precious nuggets of knowledge that will stay with us for the rest of our life. So we ask Father God now to take this word, make it real in our hearts, in our lives. Father God, that we can use this word to even grow stronger in our walk with you. That we, Father God, would not bow down to anything that the enemy suggests. And we ask Father God, prevent us from being deceived by the great deceiver. And Lord, may we constantly be aware of our surroundings, constantly aware of what's going on in our world today as it relates to your second coming. So, Father, keep us smart, keep us attuned to your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people says, amen and amen. Good evening, good afternoon.